Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence.
Afternoon, everyone. Well, I've already preached twice this morning, and I've said to a couple of people that if you see me falling asleep during my sermon, because I'm a little tired, so if I fall asleep during the sermon, will you do me a favor? Wake me up, okay? And if I see you falling, I'd never be rude enough to point that out. It's a little bit of a sleepy afternoon, isn't it, sometimes? And in case you're tired and sleepy, that's absolutely fine. And some people get sort of yawny, and you have a yawn and so on. And it's not a problem, but I should just warn you that I lose my place when people yawn, and I have to go back and start all over again. But don't worry about it at all. Let me say a prayer as we begin. Loving Father, thank you that your word, the Bible, is just wonderful. And we pray we'd be excited to hear it and able to hear what you're really saying to us, that it might affect our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. A number of years ago, I was a long way away from home at Christmas time. It was rather strange because I'm used to cold Christmases, but this was a southern hemisphere Christmas. So the sun was shining, had a barbecue and so on. It was absolutely wonderful. And a friend and his family kindly invited me into their home. And I enjoyed it very much. Everything went wonderfully well until suddenly other members of the family joined us in the afternoon. And one of the ladies who was a member of their family I'd never met before, and she came up to me and she said, "What are you doing here? You're not part of the family." And I'd really been enjoying myself, and then suddenly I felt awful. I felt as if I just wanted the earth to swallow me up. I wanted to be anywhere but there. And the hostess, who's the mother of the home, she didn't hear what had been said, but she saw something had been said, and I think she knew this particular relative and sensed it wasn't good. So she came over and said, "What did she say?" And I said, "What does it matter? No, what did she say?" And I told her, and she said, "Now listen, we're so delighted you're here, and we want you to keep staying. You've made our Christmas, and I felt at home again." And Paul is writing to some Christians who are at home with God. And you might have noticed Annabelle quoted some words that you looked at in chapter 1, that you've been qualified to share in the inheritance of God's holy people in the kingdom of light. That's jargon words. But what it means is these people, because of their trust in Jesus, they belonged in God's family. They're qualified. That's an amazing truth. But then when there were some new teachers coming along, and they started saying, "Listen, guys, you don't really belong. You don't really belong. You don't really belong. Oh, yes, you've trusted in Jesus Christ, and that's all very well, but you need something more than Jesus Christ to really belong to the family of God." And Paul, the apostle who cares for these young Christians in this Turkish city, is horrified, because it's such a wonderful privilege to be part of God's family. And he's horrified that there are new teachers saying, oh, you don't really belong. You don't really belong. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to. Some of you I know very well. Others of you I've never met. It may be you're just here as someone who's interested in the Christian faith, or you've been invited by someone who is, and you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus. You are very, very welcome. And we'd love you to keep on coming and finding out more. But many of us, I guess most of us, would say, yes, I've come to put my trust in Jesus Christ. And God's word would say to us, we're qualified to share in God's family. It's an amazing truth, isn't it? Because if you knew anything about me, you'd know that in myself, I don't deserve to be a friend of God. I don't deserve to be in his family, not because of the way I've lived my life, but because of Jesus and his death for me, I'm qualified. And the same is true for you. You might be thinking, well, if Vaughan knew what I was like and the kind of things I've done in my life, he wouldn't think I was qualified. Well, yes, you are, not because of yourself, but because of what Jesus Christ did, dying for all the wrong things you've ever done. So if you trust in him, you can be qualified. It's wonderful. But maybe there's a little voice in your head that says, you know, I don't really belong here. I don't really belong. And maybe that voice is saying those things because you've picked it up from other people, whether it's something they've actually said or the impression they give that somehow you're not the real thing. Oh, yes, you trusted Jesus Christ, but you need something more to really belong in the family of God. And if that's you, if you've ever felt like that, and I think most of us at some point can feel like that, these words are for you. Paul the Apostle says, verse 16, don't let anyone judge you. Or verse 18, don't let anyone disqualify you. He's really saying, don't let anyone make you feel you don't belong. If you trust in Jesus Christ, you're qualified to be in God's family. And there are two ways in which these new teachers who've come into this church were saying, you don't really belong. They're basically saying, you need to be like us. It's not enough to be following Jesus and trusting in him. You need to be like us. You've got to follow our rules. And you've got to have our experiences. And Paul says, don't listen to them. And these are truths that we need to hear today as well. So number one, you've got to follow our rules. Right at the beginning of our section, verse 16. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Now that doesn't sound very relevant to us, because no one's told me that I should follow a new moon celebration. I don't even know what one of those was. But actually, people can say rather similar things. Now, this is not saying that once we follow Jesus, it doesn't matter how we live. It's not about those kind of rules. The Ten Commandments, for instance, are God's way for living. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Honor your parents. Now, we can't get right with God by obeying those laws. None of us obey them fully. We get right with God through Jesus Christ and his death for us. But once we've trusted in his death, he then says, now you are my people, I want you to live this kind of way. And we should rightly be encouraging each other to live good lives, to please Jesus, following the wonderful commandments of God. That's not what Paul is talking about here. Now, these rules that these new teachers were talking about seem to be to do with the old religion of Judaism before Jesus came. And there were various rules that applied before Jesus came. But now that you're a Christian, you don't all have to follow kosher food regulations. You don't all have to observe the Jewish religious calendar. And that's, I think, what Paul is talking about. He says, these are things that are no longer necessary. They were, verse 17, a shadow of the things that were to come. Suppose you're waiting for a friend, and it's a sunny day, and then you happen to notice the shadow of your friend coming. And you say, oh, she's coming. And then she comes around the corner. You don't keep looking at the shadow, do you? Oh, there's her shadow. No, she's come. You say hello to her. It'd be very rude to start speaking to the shadow. And Paul is saying, look, those things were they had their place before Jesus came, but they were a shadow that pointed to the time when he came. And now that he came, you don't all have to be Jewish. You don't all have to follow Jewish laws and so on. But there are other rules that these people were talking about as well, not just Jewish rules. And this might become a little bit more relevant to us. They were saying, verse 21, don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Lots and lots of rules. If you're going to be a real member of the family of God, you've got to obey all these extra rules. And these are not rules that are in the Bible. Paul describes them in the next verse, verse 22, as merely human commands. They've added to the Bible. And they said, if you really want to be a proper Christian, you've got to do this, you mustn't do that, you mustn't do the other. But these are not things that are talked about in the Bible. Some of them may have their uses. So this coming week, Lent begins. And there are Christians who think it's a good thing to give up certain things in Lent. And I notice lots of non-Christians think it's a good idea to give up certain things in Lent. It's just an idea to do, and that's fine. And you might say, I'm not going to have chocolate until Easter comes. Or I'm not going to have sugar until Easter comes. That's absolutely fine. But the difference was, these people were saying, you're not really a proper Christian unless you give up X, Y, and Z during Lent. You're not allowed to eat this, you're not allowed to eat that, not allowed to do the other. All sorts of extra rules. And because these people didn't apply those rules, they were made to feel that they didn't really belong. Now that gets a bit closer to home, because I've been in Christian groups where there are all sorts of sometimes spoken rules about what you must do and mustn't do. Other times they're kind of unspoken, but you sense it, that unless you do this or that or the other, you don't really belong. So you've got to go to all these meetings. And if you're not really at that meeting and the other meeting, then you don't really belong. But the Bible doesn't say you've got to go to a midweek meeting to be a member of the family of God. It could be very useful and encouraging in your Christian faith, but it's not a rule that unless you do it. Or I think of one time in this very building that a young man came in wearing a cap, and immediately an older Christian came up and said, could you take that cap off? Shouldn't be wearing a cap in here. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you're not a proper Christian if you wear a cap inside a building. That's extra. It's not there. And here were these people insisting, you must do this, must do the other. And if you don't, you don't really belong. You've got to follow our rules. And I wonder, do you feel you don't quite belong? Because you sense that to be a member at St. Ebbs, you're meant to look a certain way. You're meant to have a certain accent. You should wear certain clothes. You should speak English in a particular kind of way. You should be very good at reading. You should have lots of good A-levels. And if you haven't all these extra things, then you don't really belong. You might be invited to come along, but you feel as if you're on the edge of things. Well, that'd be a terrible thing. Because Jesus says, if you trust in me, you're qualified to belong to God's own family. And you're certainly welcome to belong to God's church here. So it could be that you feel a bit different. And by the way, one of the lovely things about City is there's no normal here. There are people of lots of different ages, lots of different backgrounds, people whose first language is lots of different languages, people with lots of different qualifications and no qualification. And the big thing is not, oh, I've got to be like him, or I've got to be like her, or I've got to be like them. The big thing is to put our trust in Jesus. Once we put our trust in Jesus, we belong. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But these new teachers were saying, no, you've got to follow our rules. And the second thing they were saying is this, you've got to have our experiences. It's rather strange words, but look at verse 18 if you want to. Paul says, don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Disqualify you. Now, I know some of you, quite a lot of you, are old enough to remember the Olympic Games in 1988. And in 1988, someone was disqualified in one event Does anyone know which event it was? Put up your hand. You can show off your knowledge. Anyone know which event it was? There are a few just about old enough to remember. Andrew, you look much too young to have been alive then. What was the event? It was the 100 meters. Now, that might give you a clue if you know anything about the history of athletics. Does anyone know who was disqualified from the 100 meters at the 1988 Olympics? Go on, Ros. Yeah. Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, the Canadian sprinter, Ben Johnson, because he was done for drugs. And don't worry, it's nothing against Canadians. Nothing. This is not an anti-Canadian thing. Yes, Ben Johnson was disqualified because he broke the rules. And here are these new teachers saying, oh, you've disqualified. Not in this case because they broke the rules. He's moving on to a little different point here, because you haven't had certain experiences. Then let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify. It seems that they were boasting about certain experiences they'd had. And they were puffed up because they go into great detail about what they've seen. And it seems they claimed to have amazing visions, possibly even of angels. And they were saying, it's amazing. My experience of the Christian life is wonderful. I've seen this and I've seen that. And what about you? What have you seen? And then they were thinking, well, I haven't seen anything. I've just trusted in Jesus, me, that's all. As if that's a nothing. Nothing's more important than trusting in Jesus. But because they hadn't had these amazing visions and experiences, they felt they didn't really belong. They weren't properly part of the family of God. And they felt, at best, like second-class Christians, if they belonged at all. And Paul says, no, don't let anyone disqualify you. Now, God can give people amazing experiences. I've known people who've had visions. I think of two friends of mine who first started thinking about Jesus, both of them actually from a Muslim background, who had a vision of Jesus, and that made them think about Jesus and start finding out about Jesus, and then beginning to meet with others to look at the Bible to see what the Bible said, and in time they came to know Jesus. God can do amazing things. So it's perfectly possible for someone to have a vision of Jesus or an angel. But these things are not promised. And I must never, if I have any kind of wonderful experience in that kind of way, must never imply to others that they're not proper Christians unless they have the same kind of experiences as I've had. When I was a very young Christian, I became a Christian in my last year at school. And it was wonderful because I suddenly realized I belonged to the family of God. I could call God my father. I belonged. Was qualified, not because of anything I'd done, but because Jesus died for me. It changed my life. It was amazing. And then I met a little group of Christians. I was helping do some work with a disabled holiday home, and there were some other Christians there, and all of them were telling me about the experiences they had. And they said, oh, have you had similar experiences? Well, I hadn't, actually. And so for the first time, I felt really bad, and I felt, am I missing out? Do I really have a faith? And I was so shaken, because one of them got her pastor to write to me, and her pastor told me that basically I hadn't received the Holy Spirit, so I wasn't a proper Christian, because I hadn't had this experience. And that really shook me. And because I had a bit of time on my hands, I decided I was going to read the whole of the New Testament to see if it was true. And you know, one verse from this letter completely reassured me. It was a verse you've looked at a couple of weeks ago. Colossians 2, verse 9. Paul says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, that's God, lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. See what he's saying? All of God is in Christ. He's fully, fully God. And when you've come to know Jesus Christ, who is fully God, you've come to a full knowledge of God. There's not as if there's something more to be experienced beyond Jesus. Jesus is God. You've come to Jesus. You've come to God. You're qualified. And I realized whatever these people were saying, whatever they had, whether it was true or not, did not mean that I was missing out on God, because I'd come to Jesus, who was fully God, and therefore I had fullness. It was an amazing revelation to me. And so you, if you've come to put your trust in Jesus Christ, well then wonderfully, you know God, and you belong to his family. And so don't let anyone make you feel a second-class Christian because they've had a different experience to what you've had. In fact, to focus on our experiences in a Christian is really quite a dangerous thing. Because Paul says, no, you've got to focus on Christ. You see, what was happening was they were focusing on the experiences instead of Christ. And Paul says, verse 19, they've lost connection with the head. That's the Lord Jesus, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Now, just think about it for a moment. If you're and it's a nasty thought, actually, don't think about it for too long, but just imagine you're disconnected from your head. You're not going to be very healthy, are you? I mean, it's not great to be disconnected from any part of your body. I like all my fingers. But if one of them went, I could survive. But if I lose connection with my head, that's the end of me. And the irony is, these people were saying, oh, we've had these amazing experiences, and because of them, we're fully alive, we've got a real knowledge of God. And Paul is saying, they're so focused on that they're missing out on Jesus. They've forgotten about him. And without receiving the life that he offers, it's like having their heads cut off. They don't have spiritual life at all if you focus on life in experience instead of Jesus. It was a lovely preacher who understood this very well, because when I start worrying about how I feel, I very quickly forget about the Lord Jesus. And when I think about how I feel, I normally feel pretty down, because I don't often feel as excited as I should be about Jesus. And I even begin to wonder, do I even know him? And he said this, I look at Jesus. I remember all the wonderful things he's done for me, how he died for me, how he rose again, how he loves me, how he accepts me. I look at Jesus and the dove of peace flows into my heart. And I feel, yes, I do belong. I am right with God. But then he said, I look at the dove and it quickly flies away. And what he's saying is, when I'm focusing on how I feel, oh, I think I'm feeling good, I feel close to Jesus, or I don't feel very close to Jesus today, very quickly I lose any kind of peace. Because I don't know about you, but my feelings go up and down and up and down and up and down. But Jesus is always the same. And Paul says, if you want to enjoy the Christian life, if you want to know you really belong, don't look at all the rules that other people imply you've got to obey. Don't chase after experiences. Keep looking at Jesus. We belong. I'm going to tell you one final story to close. There was a very, very expensive, posh reception in a big London venue. And the Archbishop of Canterbury was invited, along with all sorts of bigwigs, government figures, and so on. And the Archbishop was driven along by his chauffeur. And he said to the chauffeur, look, come on in with me, because I know you haven't eaten for a little while. Come on in with me. Well, the chauffeur wasn't dressed like all the other posh people. He didn't speak like all the other posh people. And so someone in charge of the event came right up to him and started shooing away. Said, no, please, what are you doing here? Go away, go away. And the Archbishop came up and said, no, it's okay. He's with me. And that shut them all up. He's with me. And maybe you hear or sense that other people are saying, you don't really belong. Oh, you believe in Jesus, but you're not following all the right rules. You're not having had all the right experiences. And if we sense that, or sense a little voice in our head saying, I don't really belong here, Jesus comes up and says, it's okay. You're with me. And so there's the question. Have you put your trust in Jesus? If not, the amazing treasures of being a friend with God, you haven't yet received. And the challenge for you, put your trust in him and ask someone here what that would look like. But for those of us who have done that, well, do remember this amazing truth. We're qualified to receive all the blessings that God showers upon us. And don't let anyone, or don't let a little voice in your own head say, you don't really belong. We absolutely belong. He's with me. She's with me. Let me pray. Loving Father, thank you for all the gifts you give us through Jesus, of forgiveness, of knowing that we're your friend, of a certain future hope of being with you forever. And we pray that no voice within us, no voice from outside us would make us feel we don't belong. May we delight in the privileges you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.